Does writing a single blog post take upwards of 2, 3, or even 4 hours? Are you overwhelmed by the idea of adding yet another content medium to your list, whether you're already podcasting and you're thinking of adding YouTube, or you're already on YouTube and now you want a blog? If any of that is overwhelming or exhausting, this is for you. We're going to talk about how to repurpose your content across mediums, across platforms, so you can get in front of as many of your ideal clients or customers as you possibly can. Welcome to Emma Givens Content and Copy. My name's Emma, and I'm the founder of a boutique agency specializing in branded copywriting and content writing for small and medium-sized businesses. I know from experience working with hundreds of businesses of all shapes and sizes that compassionate, client-centered copy and content ultimately does 3 incredibly powerful things. 1, it helps your ideal client by matching them to a product or service that's going to improve their life. 2, it positions you as the guy they think of first and trust wholeheartedly. And 3, it actually improves conversion and retention for a thriving business long-term. Are you excited to stand out to more of the clients you adore? Let's dive into some content and copy. So when deciding to repurpose content, there's probably one initial decision that's most helpful to start with. Do we repurpose content or are we outsourcing content creation? And essentially, for me, the decision comes down to 2 things. 1, what kind of budget do you have for outsourcing? And 2, do you like creating that kind of content? And with that answer, obviously you need a little bit of a budget. You're probably bringing in plenty of eyes already to your product, services, whatever it is that you sell. And you now have a little bit of extra income to put back into the content marketing so you can get more visibility and keep growing, right? So that's when you might outsource a content marketing piece. But if you like to do that type of content creation, then you don't want to outsource it. We want to find a way for you to maintain ownership over it and for you to keep enjoying it. So, and if you absolutely hate it, even if like filming a YouTube video is miserable for you and even if you could outsource the editing, it still wouldn't feel worth it to you, then just leave those out. But if it's something you enjoy doing, I wouldn't outsource it. I would try and find a way to do it yourself. And the way to do it yourself is by repurposing. So maybe you'd love to start a podcast, but you just don't see how you could possibly have time to do it on top of the work that you do, plus the fact that you're already blogging and you're already posting on social media a few times a week. If that is what you're concerned about, we're going to come up with a solution for you right here, right now, and that is repurposing. Another way to tell if repurposing is a good solution for you is to tell me if you resonate with any of these 3 following sentences. 1, I hate working so many hours just to feel like I'm catching up with my business. I want to spend my evenings with family instead. 2, I want to take control of my lifestyle. I'm always trading time for money, sometimes not even enough money for the effort. Or 3, I need a website that speaks and sells for me while I sleep. So if those are resonant, then repurposing is the key. Right? So what is repurposing? Repurposing, at least the way I define it, is starting with a piece of hero content. And that would basically be the first piece of content, the type you like making the best, the type that's easiest. So for me, that's a blog post. So a blog post would be my hero content. And then repurposing is taking that blog post and reforming it and making it other types of content. So we're going to go into detail in terms of how you repurpose with a blog post as your hero, with a podcast episode as your hero, a video as your hero, and social media as your heroes in different videos. But suffice it to say that you can start with that one piece and either use it as a script for a video or tear it apart into smaller chunks and use those as captions. There's lots of ways that you can use your first hero piece across mediums, whether it's audio, visual, or written as well. And there are 2 really big benefits to repurposing. First is that you position yourself as an expert online. So even if you have a local business, like let's say that you are a local florist, maybe some people in your neighborhood don't know you exist unless they actually cross in front of your flower shop. If they go on a different route to come home, if they're not really out and about kind of people who have maybe a dog and actually walk in circles around the neighborhood, maybe they don't realize that so close to them is this amazing florist. And they might Google search to see, okay, is there someone better than the people on Main Street? Because last time the flowers were bolted. Well, you need to be online for them to find you. Or you might even need to be on Instagram for them to find you. A lot of people these days would type in something like flowers, Etobicoke, my neighborhood in Toronto, for example, and that might be how they find you. So wherever your ideal clients are, you want to be. And at the very least, that means having a website. But on top of that, you want it to be a website that's easy to find. So the other way that you position yourself as an expert is by making sure you're getting seen for the expert content you're putting out online. And that is usually by using really good SEO best practices. By creating plenty of content across platforms as well, you're going to boost how visible you are in general. So let's say someone types into Google flower shop Etobicoke. Well, if you've created blog posts and they're SEO friendly, and you also have a Facebook page for your business and perhaps a LinkedIn page for your business, depending on what makes the most sense, depending on where your clients are, then even if your website doesn't rank super high, because maybe you're competing with people who've been putting out content for a long time, so they show up at the top of a Google search. Well, maybe your flower shop will still show up really high because, especially if they know your name and they can type it in, your LinkedIn or your Facebook page is going to show up at the top of the page. So if you look for me, for example, Emma Givens, you'll see my website, but you will also see my LinkedIn and my Instagram and probably my Facebooks. I believe all of them show up on the first page of results because those major platforms have the power to show up at the top of a page. So you want to make sure that you're on the platforms where your people can find you so that when they look it up and they see, oh, hey, this could be a good fit, they can go to their platform of choice, right, to learn more about you. Having a lot of your expertise shown online in whatever medium you prefer also means you have a bit of a portfolio to share with people who you might be pitching to for a guest spot on a podcast, or maybe you want to show some of the podcast interviews that you've done or the live events that you've done. You want to show clips of those so that you can get featured in a virtual summit, for example, or you might be trying to get on a stage as a speaker for the first time. So just in general, having a really visible portfolio of your expertise can be helpful and reutilized in the future as you're trying to build your platform and establish more credibility. And speaking of credibility, even not even thinking about your peers, right? Just thinking about your audience, if you're very visible as someone who knows what they're talking about in this sphere, you're going to be top of mind when they need a solution in that area. So let's say they followed you on Instagram for a while, but they weren't ready to take you up on your services. So for example, one of the things I offer is writing coaching. And once in a while, I'll mention it, but I'm also sharing fantastic tips around, you know, best copywriting structures to use for content creation, or I'm also going to talk about mental health and entrepreneurship, or whatever it is that makes them resonate with me. When it's time for them, when they actually have gotten to the point where, oh, I realize that I'm starting a blog for the first time and I don't really know anything about structure for blogs and I don't know how to make a blog SEO friendly, I will put out a post maybe that same day that just brings me to mind because I'm an expert. So they're like, oh, of course, that's who I'm going to go to. Or they may not even need you to trigger it. It just may be that you're the person that they know as the expert in that area. So when they're ready, they go to you. So you just create this expert image in their minds, but you're also top of mind, right? They don't forget you and they feel connected to you in a way that they wouldn't if they were just blind searching on Google when the time comes that they need a solution. Another thing is that by positioning yourself as an expert, you are also setting yourself up to make money based on your knowledge and not so much your time. So if you wanted to switch into maybe consulting, for example, showing that you really know what you're talking about and that people trust you as an authority means that you can start consulting versus having to work on an hourly rate, which is what you might be doing at the moment. So you can start charging half day rates or day rates for consulting versus charging by hour to actually perform a service for someone. So keep that in mind as well if you're transitioning into any sort of consulting role, or perhaps you want to transition from done for you services or product creation to also being a speaker or some sort of thought leader, right? You need to look like an expert online by putting out consistent content. And repurposing content means that you can do that across the board more consistently. And that's what we're going to talk about now. So the second benefit to repurposing content on a consistent basis is that your content is going to do the hard work for you. so that you don't have to, right? So if you have a hero piece of content, that very first piece of content where everything else stems from. So for me, a blog post, and then you turn that same blog post into four social media posts. So I kind of crop it into four different chunks. Maybe there's a quote I really like in one section, a couple bullet points I like in another section, a really strong standalone paragraph in another section. I can turn those into different captions for social media. What I can also do with that same blog post is use that as the basis of a podcast script, right? And I could film myself while I'm recording the podcast. So I have both a video and a podcast episode now. I also had the social media post plus the original blog post, right? And in future videos, we're going to talk about how you start with a video, or you start with a podcast, or you start with a blog post, or you start with social media. But for now, suffice it to say that if you just pick one hero and then you turn it into other types of content, that one time that you researched and that one time that you created a structure, it's going to keep working for you throughout all the other platforms as well. So you're not kind of going month to month thinking, oh, when was the last time I talked about this? But I only did a podcast episode on it. I haven't talked about it on social media yet. And it also becomes disjointed, right? Whereas if you have kind of a theme every week or two, right, where you create your podcast episode, that's the hero, let's say. And that means that that week on your podcast, that is obviously the topic that comes out. That's also the main topic you're sharing about on social media that week. Then it just creates this kind of consistent content theme that you can roll with at a given time, right? And then you can repeat that content theme either by reviving an old caption and kind of sharing it now, or tweaking it and sharing it again. And it also becomes almost like a library for you to select from, right? So if you're being really intentional about the topics you choose and stretching them as far as they can go at any given time, it means that you can provide these educational resources on an ongoing basis. So let's say someone sends you an Instagram message asking you how to do this. You can say, oh, that's a great question. I actually did a podcast about this a couple of weeks ago. Let me send you the link. That gives you that option, right? Or you could prefer to send them to your blog post so they end up on your website, right? So whatever medium is the easiest to reshare it in. And then you're not constantly trying to custom answer people all the time, but you're still giving them value and expertise and having gratitude that you've started a conversation together. You can always take that and ask, like, hey, what did you think about it? Or how do you think that's going to affect your business right now? Or just keep the conversation going, and who knows, that might lead to a sales call. So having a library of content to go with is really helpful in that capacity as well. You also might be able to make passive income. Now, I wouldn't make this a primary focus, especially if you are a business owner, right? But it doesn't hurt to think about as an option. So passive income could be things like, if your YouTube channel is an important content marketing medium for you and it grows to a reasonable size where you can monetize it, okay, why not do that? It's not interfering in any way with you sharing your offers. It's not even like taking on a sponsorship for a brand like influencers would do. Now, I'm not saying you couldn't ever do that. Depending on your model, it might work. But simply monetizing your channel is just a little bit of passive income that in no way competes. You can still talk about your own business or create valuable content around something you're an expert in, so that for the right person who knows, oh, this is the expert that I need, they'll follow like a link in your bio to go work with you or to buy one of your products, something like that. So that could be an additional thing to keep in mind, right? Especially YouTube and podcasts. Podcasts get sponsorships a lot, and if sponsorships seem like an okay option for you, then maybe these are additional ways of creating some pretty passive income. Thank you so much for tuning in to Emma Givens Content and Copy. If you had an aha moment or insight from today's episode, let's make it stick by writing it down in a review. It would actually mean the world to me and my entire team. You can write a review on Apple Podcasts, then screenshot it and tag me on Instagram at Emma Givens Writer. I'd be thrilled to start a conversation with you and reshare your big aha moment with the rest of the audience. Until next time, remember, your voice matters. Let's set it free. See you next week for another episode of Emma Givens Content and Copy.